City of College Station, the fire department. So what is new and different?
We're looking forward to the next bond election.
Okay.
We're looking at Station 7, so we're trying to keep up with the growth of the city. It's pretty amazing.
That would be approximately where, do we think?
It'll be south.
Okay.
The school system bought a large tract of land out there, about 60 acres, and they have kindly offered a couple of acres to the city.
So south and west, probably.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. I got you.
That's where most of the residential growth is going. Mm-hmm. We feel good about the north end now with Station 6 opening.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing the type of call volume coming out of that station that we thought we were going to see, and it's just going to get to be more and more with all that construction up there. It's
sure.
just unbelievable. They just keep building.
Yeah.
And they keep coming. So
They do. They keep coming, so you got to protect them.
It's amazing.
Obviously, on a pretty somber note, a fatality this week.
Yes.
We don't have an ID yet. It seems like it's a long time. Can you explain why that is?
There's some difficulty in reaching relatives, and certainly you want family members to learn about something like that in a personal kind of way, mm-hmm. not on the news or something. So mm-hmm. there's some difficulty in getting a hold of relatives to let them know.
Now, and it's been a while since we had a fire-related fatality in College Station.
August of 2010 was the last one. And before that, it was, probably 2000 or 2001. So we're very fortunate in this area. We don't have a lot of fatalities due to fire.
You know, I was watching a show the other day on history, I think, talking about the top gadgets. And, you know, in at number 72 was the smoke alarm.
Mm.
Pretty
yeah.
simple technology. Pretty inexpensive. Of course,
oh, yeah.
you by ordinance, you must have them in rental units,
certainly.
And certainly you want them in their homes. But this house did happen to have a fire smoke detector, right?
Yeah, neighbors reported that they could hear the smoke alarm yeah. going off when they made the call,
yeah.
the 911 call. So yeah, there was a smoke alarm present. I don't know why it didn't
sure.
rouse
well,
the occupant.
Yeah, not guaranteed it'll work, but it I'm sure it has saved lots of lives.
Oh, yeah, we... the history of the smoke alarm, we're very, very confident that smoke alarms do save lives as long as they're maintained properly mm. and they're replaced on a regular basis. Mm. A lot of people don't know there's a shelf life on smoke alarms, somewhere between 7 and 10 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So at that point in the cycle, they need to be replaced and updated. But
yeah.
The new smoke alarms are really pretty amazing. They
yeah.
can do some really nice stuff.
Not expensive when you consider the alternatives, right?
Very, yeah. very reasonably priced.
Yeah, exactly. Bart Humphrey's joining us this morning. And again, I don't know, you know, I don't want it to be necessarily always on a serious note, but, you know, a lot of folks probably saw you or heard you for the first time in 1999. I mean, you ended up being the face that was seen all over the nation, literally, because of the bonfire collapse. And, you know, as I think back, you've done this for a while.
Yeah.
And it's how much longer are you going to do this?
About 2 weeks.
What? Really?
Really.
Oh, well, okay then. Since I brought it up. Wow. Is that right? So you're gonna retire?
Yeah. Yeah. The my last day in the office will be the 25th of July.
How many years?
35 and a half.
That's half the city's life.
yeah, really. Yeah. So when you stop and think about it, yeah, you're just about right.
So you're talking about us building our seventh station.
Mm-hmm.
How many stations were there when you started?
One.
Were you the guy who hit the siren at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning that woke me up and I lived two blocks behind the fire station?
No, we'll blame that on the university. They
oh,
had,
okay.
they had the big siren on campus. Yeah, but okay. When I started the one at 1207 Texas Avenue there mm-hmm. by City Hall, that was the only station. In fact, when I started, they were just finishing the remodeling because originally that was police and fire.
Uh-huh.
So they were just finishing the remodeling where police got their own building. In fact, the one they're currently in on Texas Avenue. So things have changed a little bit. Population back then was about 36,000, and now it's getting close to 101,000.
Yeah.
I think the student enrollment at A&M was probably about 12,000, and now it's usually over 55,000.
Yeah. Now, where were you a firefighter before here?
No place. It's where I started my career in the fire service.
Wow. Yeah. What was the linchpin? What caused you to want to be a firefighter?
Honestly, I needed a job.
Okay, well, no, I
well,
understand.
I originally got into it for the EMS.
Yeah.
I had some background in emergency medicine and things like that, and had been self-employed and done several things, was thinking about what's my next career move. And mm-hmm. There was an ad in the paper, and I thought, you know, that kind of appeals to me. And
yeah.
got started that way, and everybody is cross-trained. We don't have just EMS people and fire people. Everybody's cross-trained and rotates through the ambulance and things like that. So started learning about the fire business and got interested in that and the science and the art behind firefighting, and just went on from there, and all of a sudden I'd been here 35 years.
Well, again, you mentioned the EMS component. I mean, mm-hmm. for a while we just thought of firefighters as people who put fires out, but actually a first responder on an entirely another area.
Oh, certainly, and back then it was fire, everything has branched out. There's so many different services we provide to the citizens now. Naturally, everybody hears about the hazardous materials response, and that all came from the weapons of mass destruction and all that. And that requires a lot of training and specialized equipment. We're trained and equipped for all kinds of rescues, what we call like confined space rescue. Which comes in handy around here with all the construction,
Sure.
All the trench rescues and things like that. We have swift water teams, boat teams, in case we ever get enough rain to where we have that kind of mm-hmm. problem again.
Mm-hmm.
We have a dive recovery team.
Wow.
So there's all kinds of service beyond what you might call traditional basic services that fire departments provide. Yeah. But being the kind of the hub for the seven county area, a lot of the jurisdictions can't afford those kind of things, so it's a cooperative effort. Actually, Bryan Fire Department takes the lead in the technical rescue for the region, and College Station takes the lead in the hazardous materials response.
Interesting.
for the region, and that's an economic thing because mm-hmm. like I said, a lot of special equipment and training goes into it. So instead of
no duplication needed if
exactly,
you do that, yeah,
exactly.
If you do. Bart Humphreys joining us this morning as we find out he's 35 years at the department and about to wrap that up. Well, obviously. Obviously, 1999 was something that I guess is probably on the top of the list. But, you know, good or bad, are there a couple of other things that kind of are highlights as you look back?
Well, January of 1999 was when we decided to have a designated public information officer in the department. So we hadn't really had a lot of coordination in our public communication efforts before that. And probably one of the things I like the most is being able to get the word out to the people, safety messages and things like that, because I've come and talked to you about mm-hmm. the fireworks and holiday safety and all that kind of stuff. Ideally, what we as the fire service would do would be to get all this good prevention information out, make people develop good habits and be safe and prevent ourselves out of a job.
Makes it easier.
It's not going to happen, though.
Yeah, sure.
You know, dealing with people, there's always going to be a need for the kind of things we do. But we've mm-hmm. definitely seen a shift in the type of calls and call demand that we get in the fire service. Roughly two-thirds of the calls we go on annually over about the last 10 years have been EMS related.
Yeah.
So that's a big part of what we do. As the population grows, that percentage is edging up a little bit, and part of that has to do with the demographics, getting an older mm-hmm. Population in. We're seeing people coming back here to retire now, and that's not anything that was a big driver for a long time. So we see that EMS component continually to, like I said, hover around two-thirds, and that's really kind of below the national average. Departments that do fire and EMS usually see 70% or little more than that on EMS calls. But
is that because in areas where they have higher population density that happens? Or
that might be part of it. And there again, our demographics, we have always had such a young population.
Yeah.
Older population tends to put a little more demand on EMS.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of it, too.
Sure. We'll naturally always have that young group in here because of the school.
Certainly. And that's a good thing. I think that keeps the area pretty dynamic.
Yeah. Well, speaking of retirement, so now are you going to stay here? Are you going to go retire someplace else?
Oh, yeah. We my wife and I, grew up around here and have spent most of our life in the Bryan-College Station area. Her parents are still in town and require a little more assistance, so we're not going to stray.
Okay.
Not that I know of.
All right, there you go. But we won't have to get up early every morning, something like that. Well good.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you get
hard-wired. Habit to break.
You get hardwired doing that. Well, thank you for your service. I really appreciate it, Bart.
Thank you. It's been quite a ride. I didn't realize it in February of 79, but I made a real good move there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's been good.
Excellent. Glad to hear that. All right. Thanks a lot. All right. Anything else?
Quick mention that the Games of Texas are coming to Bryan-College Station, Texas A&M, July 31st through August 1st. Mm-hmm. August 4th. A ton of people from across the state are going to be coming here.
And spending their money.
Yes, and we like that very much. But we also need local amateur athletes to compete and represent the motherland. So there are a variety of events to register for and compete in. A full listing of those can be found at this website, TAF.com. That's TAAF.com. That is the Texas Amateur Athletic Federation. So please go check that out.
All right. That's Jay Sokol here from the City of College Station. Visit those folks on Fridays.